Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. How do you start your day, or what routine do you follow to gain some kind of orientation? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people wake up and they might go and say a prayer. They might brush their teeth. They might get a cup of coffee or Diet Coke, depending on, or Coke, or whatever it is that you drink. You might have a particular newspaper that you look at, or you might go online to look at Twitter or Facebook, or you might look at some other way of just kind of finding out what's going on. You might talk to someone or call someone. But I bet most of you have some kind of routine that you follow. And what happens when that routine is disrupted? Maybe not much, but you might go through the day saying, well, I just didn't have that second cup of coffee, and that's why I'm having a bad day, or something like this. In lots of ways, we orient ourselves to the world. We look for direction or for a map. We look for a guide to help us understand what's happening around us. And I think sometimes when something happens out of order, out of the ordinary, it can be jolting and jarring. We can sometimes get so disrupted that we're not sure where we are, and again, we look for that same orientation. I was thinking about this last week as we started to get the news about the bombings at the Boston Marathon. And I don't know what you're used to, but usually I remember hearing about the Boston Marathon because there's often a name said that so-and-so won it. And I think of that and think, if I ran the Boston Marathon, it'd take 2 weeks to finish. And then usually we kind of know it happens. It's kind of a springtime thing. And really, we don't hear much about it. It's part of the routine of the culture around us to hear about it and maybe not to pay that much attention. But suddenly, our routine was disrupted. And probably you paid attention. Or you heard, or you asked, what happened? How many? Who? Who did it? What's going on? As the week continued, it kind of got dramatic. And I remember talking to several people on Friday that said, I just can't turn the news off. I got to know what's going to happen. That violent act, that evil that happened, disrupted us, disturbed us in ways that we're looking for orientation. It's been a hard week for our congregation, as we've lost two longtime beloved members, in Gary and in Dean. And other families in our congregation have also suffered losses. And similarly, these kinds of losses can be a little disorienting for us, even if we knew it was going to happen. It can shock us and change us. And so where do we look? Where do we look to get ourselves back on track, back to where we were? I think one of the most helpful things that sort of floated around this week was a quote by Mr. Rogers. Now, I grew up with Mr. Rogers in his cardigan sweater, and I remember the neighborhood and all the lessons he taught. And I remember this thing that he would say. And I had to look it up to make absolutely sure that this wasn't something we were saying, he said, but he didn't, which we do a lot these days. And he really did say, he said, my mother always used to say, when scary things happen, look for the helpers. Look for those who are helping. Think about that for a minute. What wise words. Isn't it easy for us to get caught up in the darkness? Isn't it easy for us to get caught up in all the questions about the bad things? And she offered a way to reorient. Look for those who are helping. Look for those who are doing good. And when you do, what do you find? They so outnumber. And it happens all the time in every place. Think of the people who showed goodness by walking right in to help another person. Think of a first responder who risks everything to help others. And I thought during the week how many people offered to help those who were suffering in our own community with food and words of encouragement and kindness and offers of help, pouring out love. If I'm honest with you, I'm really tired of preaching about terrorism. I'm tired of preaching about it because I'm a person of hope and faith. I can't fathom hurting another person. I'm a person who believes in goodness, who believes in the potential of humanity, who believes that there's right in the world. And whenever this happens, I'm shaken. It just shakes me just a little bit more each time. But we can't give in, can we? We can't give up. Because the helpers are so many more. The goodness is so much more. How many of you have ever herded sheep? Anybody? The last two services. Okay, good. Somebody. There's another generation that'll all be gone. But somebody. Is it easy? Not the petting zoo kind, by the way. So, a friend of mine in my last congregation used to have a farm, and he raised Jacob's rams, which were the kind of the rams that have the big circle things. And Riley was about four, and he would invite me out every spring to come bless his new animals. And it was always a lot of fun, and I said, well, can I bring my daughter? You know, she'd love it. Oh, sure, it'd be fine. And he kind of said, you know, you probably won't get too close to him, but you can bring her and she can look. And I'm thinking, urban life, petting zoo, cute things. So I go out, and there's all these rams and the new sheep out there. And I said, well, come on, let's go out there. And he says, don't even go near the fence. He said, if you get too close, they will charge you. And these were big animals, and they were mean. And he started telling me the story about how hard it is to really keep them in order and how they're always knocking the fence down and doing this and getting out and causing trouble and how unruly they are. And this one over here, you know, the minute you look at him, he's going to knock you from behind. And this one over here will do this. And he kept going on and on and on. And I thought, I got to get my picture right. Because when I think of a shepherd, I think of someone in a nice clean robe on the top of a hill under a tree overlooking a beautiful green valley with many very calm sheep, as most paintings that we see would show this very pastoral scene. But maybe good shepherds know that it takes a little effort to keep the sheep from falling into evil. They know that it takes a little effort to keep them protected. They know that it keeps quite a bit of effort to keep the flock together, so to speak. And this is the image that we say about Jesus. That Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd that keeps us oriented, pointed, gathered. Think of that for a minute. The good shepherd is one who is willing to tell the truth in his time, to say sometimes the uncomfortable things, like it takes all kinds of people to do all kinds of things, like a rich man can't get through the eye of a needle, right? Can't get into heaven any more than a camel can fit through the eye of a needle. Jesus says other hard things for people to hear, that justice should be done, that the sick should be welcomed, that those who are outcasts should be brought in. He says that we should risk giving up some of our own security to feed others, that if we see someone who is without clothing, we should offer the shirt that we have. These are risky things to do when we really take it for what he's asking us. So where is the good shepherd leading us right now? I think Mr. Rogers' mom had some wise words for us. But to be the helpers, to be those that despite all the things going on, are willing to do the good things and the right things. We're not willing to give up on light and life. We're not willing to give up on being there for our neighbors. And to me, that's what wins. That's the love that Christ teaches us. And it's risky. And it's hard. Yes, I'm telling you to be like those rams that are difficult, that are willing to fight, that have some spirit to them. So maybe this week, as you go about your journey, it's to ask that question, what orients you? What will bring you to the right direction, to that place where you'll know the path that's before you? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's the study of Scripture. Maybe it's conversation with friends. Maybe it's coming to church. Maybe it's all of those different things that we can do. But it is to remember your calling. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And he calls his flock. And he challenges us to go into the world to be goodness, to be light, to be life, to be helpers. Amen.